countdown shortly here. In H minus 10 seconds, the countdown will come directly from the timing and firing trailer.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Quantel, opt-in, opt-in, go tape.
This is Publius bringing you A Step Farther Out. Your weekly radio message from the Man and Atom Society.
Today, being Saturday, August 6th, in the glorious future year of 2022, I am going to ask you to observe a moment of silence in memory of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima on this date in 1945. Thank you. Now, what is there to talk about? Well, the first thing would be my plans for the upcoming World Science Fiction Convention, September 1st through 5th in Chicago, Illinois, USA. Now, this year straddles two anniversaries. Perhaps not the most important anniversaries, but important ones anyway. So, the 80th anniversary of first criticality of Chicago Pile 1, the first nuclear fission chain reactor created by human beings, falls at the beginning of December this year. And of course, the 70th anniversary of the first generation of electricity by experimental breeder reactor number 1 fell in late December of last year. And both of those have a very strong Chicago connection. Of course, Chicago Pile 1 was located in Chicago, but EBR 1 was built by the folks from Argonne National Laboratory in the Chicago area, which, of course, grew directly out of CP1. And the metallurgical project, which was a part of the Manhattan Project. So. But yes, I will always consider it deeply regrettable, a shame and a crime, that the control of intra-atomic energy, which should have been a great message of hope for the world, was revealed to the public by the destruction of a city. Whatever you may or may you may think about the justifiability or otherwise of the use of nuclear weapons in warfare, of warfare itself, of the war between the United States and Japan, and so on, it strikes me that the fact that the control of nuclear energy became known to the world in that way is something that must always be regretted. People cannot think, I fear, about nuclear energy without thinking about destruction, which is far from what they should be thinking about. Because, of course, it is, or has the potential to be, the most amazing force for creation. And, you know, people have begun to talk again about nuclear energy. Maybe it's not all that bad, considering the alternatives, in a very sort of wishy-washy way. And there's beginning to be some, if not enthusiasm, at least acceptance. And people are saying, well, what we really need is not another accident. Because they say, well, Three Mile Island, even though, of course, Three Mile Island didn't actually hurt anyone, right, but it came along at a crucial period and did, the public excitement over it did help to derail a lot of plans, which had come particularly in the wake of the 1973-74 oil crisis. Lots of plants were canceled or deferred, regulatory changes were initiated, which resulted in massively escalated costs and delayed schedules, and utility companies throwing in the towel. And Chernobyl really had a devastating effect on nuclear power programs in a lot of places. Again, places that were not affected by it, places that didn't have anything to fear, considering that nobody outside the USSR had that kind of reactor, and that kind of event could not happen in any other kind of reactor. But try to explain that to people. And then, you know, again, concern about climate change and things like that. Opinions were beginning to shift circa 2010. There was discussion about repealing the anti-nuclear law in Germany. And then Fukushima. Never mind that 20,000 people were killed by the earthquake and tsunami, and nobody was killed by nuclear energy. Even the German, you know, the German Greens and their associated press organs still talk about 20,000 Fukushima deaths. Which is exactly the wrong way around. It's zero Fukushima deaths. That's the amazing part. There were three people who died at the power station, but they were drowned. And then more recently, at least one, if not two, people have fallen off of storage tanks full of decontaminated water to their deaths. None of that can be attributed to nuclear energy in any normal way. Northern Lights says, wow, that's pretty dishonest. Yeah. There's a reason why I say, you know, whatever the anti-nuclear campaigners say, I've found breaks down into three categories of statements. One is gross and blatant distortions and misrepresentation of facts. Number two is outright falsehoods and fabrications. And number three is grandiloquent statements with a lot of emotional impact that don't actually contain any factual value at all. They have no truth value. They can't be affirmed or denied because they don't actually mean anything. They're nonsensical. Anyway, so in that light, of course, there are many other reasons to be concerned about the Russian invasion of Ukraine, to say that this is not a good thing, that this is a thing that should be opposed. It's a bit difficult, of course. An aggressor who has nuclear weapons, nobody really wants to oppose them too strenuously. Even other nuclear-armed powers, because nobody wants to set up that confrontation where the damn things might actually be used. But the Russians, the Russian military, for reasons that are entirely unclear to me, has started shelling the Zaporizhian atomic power plant again, which is the largest nuclear power station in Europe. And the danger is less to the nuclear side of the plant than to the conventional side. What you have to realize is essentially all large steam electric generating stations use hydrogen cooling of the alternators. Typically the rotor, the moving part, is cooled by hydrogen gas, and the stator, Thus, the stationary part is cooled by circulating water. So the Zaporizhian Atomic Power Plant has, I believe, 6 units of the VVER-1000 type, which are 1,000 megawatt pressurized water reactors, as opposed to Chernobyl, which had 4 and a planned 6, but only 4 were constructed, RBMK-1000 reactors, which are also about the same size in terms of power generation, physically much larger because they were graphite moderated, and graphite is much less economical moderator of neutrons than water is. Anyway, but so the danger is from the conventional side of the plant, because there could be a hydrogen explosion, which would probably destroy a lot of things and put the plant out of commission for quite some time. And it's not obvious why the Russians are doing this, except that they're trying to wreck and damage things in Ukraine, I assume because they have decided they're probably not going to succeed in conquering or long-term occupying the place. Because it stands to reason, if they thought they were going to be there, if they thought they were going to be able to control it for any length of time, they would try to keep infrastructure intact. But that's not happening. You know, they're just wrecking things. Of course, it's also possible that their high command is just brain damaged. Considering that, you know, they didn't immediately mutiny when Putin ordered them to war, you do have to consider that possibility, that there is something wrong with them in the cerebral department. Anyhow, as I said, I have plans for the World Science Fiction Convention in Chicago. They did not seem to have any program items relating to nuclear energy in any way, shape, or form, which I thought was a serious deficiency for a Worldcon, for a gathering of science fiction writers and fans and people who care about science fiction writing and science fiction fandom. You know, nuclear energy, I think, generally regarded in a better light by science fiction folks than perhaps by the world at large, just because we tend to understand it better. Also, people who are in science fiction fandom tend, this is not universal, but tend to have a more optimistic view of what technology has contributed to human life and can contribute in the future. Yeah, there are dystopians. I mean, you find them everywhere nowadays. Dystopia is practically the most popular genre of literature, for all that I detest it, to a degree I find difficult to express. But still. Anyway. So there were no program items. I volunteered to be a program participant, and I did propose some program items, but they don't seem to have been accepted. I don't know whether or not I've been accepted as a program participant. I filled out all the questionnaires and things, but I haven't got an email telling me yes or no, and those have begun to go out. I do know that. So I don't know one way or the other. What I do know is that the folks in charge of displays got very enthusiastic. And they told me they will give me a 10 by 20 foot booth, 20 feet wide, 10 feet deep. That's 6 meters wide, 3 meters deep, with two 8 foot wide, so say 2.5 meter wide, display boards for art, and two, let's say, 2 meter long tables for displaying exhibits. So far, so good. So what I need to do now is actually get stuff in order so I can make use of that. I'm working on some designs for tablecloths. So basically I want to do one, I think, with my Atomic Fist logo that says Atomic Power to the People, and the second one with the Smiling Atom logo of the Nuclear Power Yes Please campaign and their slogan. And of course, normally both of those I use in a circular format, but for these table drapes, which are going to be say 75 centimeters high by 2 meters long, roughly, they're going to be printed on cloth, There's a service called Spoonflower that does that. So I've set the designs up for 2 yards of a particular fabric with a 56-inch width, and so that's done as 2 panels, essentially. So I think that'll be successful. I'm just having trouble finding a good arrangement for the words, so that, for example, they don't read Atomic to the Power People, which doesn't make much sense. I tried wrapping the phrase Atomic Power around the fist and then having to the people on a horizontal line below that, interrupted by the lower part of the fist. And, of course, in that case, there's a danger of reading it as to the Atomic Power People, which is also baffling, but perhaps less probable as a mistake. So, I also want to make, at the very minimum, some stickers, possibly also some badges, that say, No Blood for Oil, Atoms for Peace. And, anyway, the problem basically is these are all things that sort of need to be done fairly soon here, and they also run into money. I'm looking at, the better part of something over $100 when I look at the stickers and the tablecloths all folded in together, as it were, and including shipping. And that's something I pretty much have to commit those orders immediately because of production time. And then if I want badges to hand out, well, on the one hand, I can order them, which I'm inclined to do. On the other hand, at the WesterCon last month, there was a guy who came by the table and recommended to me a button machine made by U.S. Buttons, which he said works really well. It messes up a lot less often than the Badge a Minute machines. Anyway, and so if I had one of those, I could make some buttons of my own without having to order them. So it'd be like $150 for the button machine. It's a real good-looking button machine, though. I will say that. But I had this really nifty idea. I was over at this weird sort of little curiosity shop. It's sort of a thrift store that supports an organization that distributes art materials to school teachers. That's the best way I can describe it. They call it the Wellman Project, with one L. Anyway, I was over there, and I got to talking to the clerk who was running the till, who, as it turned out, recognized me from anime conventions where I would sit around promoting space. So I gave her a copy of Lunarcy and so on. But the next time I came back, she happened to have a box full of photographic negatives, somebody's astrophotography negatives from the 60s. And I got this idea because I realized that some of these photographs of the moon, particularly, were right about the same size as the buttons that I was talking about, that that machine makes. Yeah, they calls it like 2¼-inch buttons. Anyway, so I thought this would be really cool. I could get cyanotype paper. And it turns out I have some, but I tried it, and it's really old. It's like 20 years old and doesn't work very well anymore. It's all faded. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, cyanotype paper and expose these photographic negatives, make cyanotype prints from them, and then make buttons from those, and I could sell those as merchandise. Because they'd be sort of, you know, handmade one-off art items. So I want to have the, like I say, some more of the Atomic Power to the People stickers with the nuclear fist logo on them printed. I had 500 made. It's not that I gave them all away. It's that most of them are in Germany right now. Now, my friends are supposed to be coming from Germany, and so I could ask them to bring those with them, except that they still haven't made their plane reservations. And so if they're going to meet me on September 1st in Chicago, they got to do that really soon. So I'm not really certain that that's going to happen, which is why I'm thinking of ordering some more. Don't ask me why I left them all in Germany. That's not the point. Anyway, in the back of the booth, I'm going to hang up my big cloth moonscape backdrop, which people love having their photographs taken in front of. So that's going to be pretty good. Anyway, but all of this is going to run into money, which I sort of have to come up with up front. And so if any of you have considered sending me some money before, now would be a great time. It's also my birthday tomorrow. So, you know, if you want to send me a birthday present, that would be great. no, I don't really expect anyone to do that, but it would be great. But the really cool thing is I posted about this on Reddit, which I do from time to time. It's a filthy habit, I realize, but I do it anyway. And Eric Meyer of Generation Atomic, one of the pro-nuclear organizations, sort of grassroots organizations that has sprung up in the U.S., sent me a message on Reddit saying, hey, we've got some money to sponsor stuff like this. Is there anything we can do for you? And so I sent it back out, yes, please! So yeah, if I can possibly get a couple of $100 out of Generation A, that would make this so much easier, because that would help provide startup capital. Not to mention, of course, as it were, not to mention, of course, that it's a sign of greater credibility, which I think is really cool. Those of us, I think, who are into building a better world have got to work together. You know, I mean, the thing is, it's not as though I'm indifferent to social justice causes. Far from it, right? I just don't believe you can build a just society very easily without the material conditions, to use a Marxist phrase. But there needs to be the underpinnings which can support it. And so that's the number one goal, I guess, that I have. You know, that's what I've been talking about all along, is that if we want a better world for everyone, we can't just do that, as it turns out, at the interpersonal level. You know, as I keep saying, slavery, for example, is an obvious evil. And there were, for thousands of years, people coming up with justifications for it. I mean, Aristotle's Politics, he spends a lot of time justifying slavery, and then sort of at the end says, of course, if we didn't need it, you know, if we had machines that would work by themselves, we wouldn't need it, which is practically an implicit admission that it was all motivated reasoning to begin with, and he didn't really believe any of the stuff he just said. So yeah, there's that. So I am hoping for some support from someone. Support from you would be great, but support from Generation A would be very much validating, I guess I would say, validation of my efforts, which I appreciate enormously. Anyway, what else is there to say? Well, there's a lot to be said and not a lot of time left to say it in. There were a lot of things that got brought up in the last couple of weeks. There were a lot of things that I didn't have time for. I will remark, so something my dad said the other day really struck a chord with me. He said, you know, Jerome Powell is hiking up interest rates, but he doesn't have a button that can increase crop yields. You know, the fact is the Federal Reserve, trying to manage the economy by managing the money supply, as I've said many times, they've got one tool, and it's not really all that effective. But the sort of one good thing that seems to have happened out of all this, I think, is that the upward pressure on interest rates has been squeezing the speculators who bought up a lot of commodity futures, including grain and other food products, right? And so they are dumping a lot of those on the market, probably because they don't want, firstly because they think, well, if, you know, if this does result in economic contraction and people have smaller incomes, they're not going to spend as much money. And secondly, they are having to pay higher interest rates for their margin loans. You know, they've borrowed money to buy things in anticipation of selling them at a higher price and getting the money back. Right. Well, the higher the interest rate goes, the less they're able to do that, the less favorable it looks. So, grain prices, food prices, are basic food prices, commodity prices are beginning to inch downward, which I would say is a good thing for everybody. It still doesn't help that we've got, you know, ethanol and motor fuel and these other things that are eating up our food, right? Taking food right out of our mouths. But at a very minimum, it looks as though the stringencies caused by speculators, forestallers as they used to be known, are easing somewhat. Let's see, what other stuff do I want to talk about in the few minutes that are remaining to me? I mean, a lot of what I've been talking about the last few weeks is predictable catastrophes. Energy shortages, fuel shortages, in other words. Drinking water shortages in South Africa, all these kinds of things. Appalachian coal gone up from $50 a ton to $175. All of these are predictable catastrophes, right? Indeed, even in the Wall Street Journal, they were quoting a guy in Germany who said, who was talking about how, you know, they were selling things, industrial products, to other countries based on raw materials they were buying from abroad and fuel they were buying from abroad, and very, very tightly scheduled supply chains and all that kind of thing. And the guy says, these efficient models that we had in the past get very inefficient if there are disruptions. You know, that's exactly what's happening. Germany's economy is doing very poorly right now because they tacitly assumed that everything was going to be perfect forever. It's like people read Francis Fukuyama's The End of History and took it seriously, right? Said, well, there are no longer going to be not only wars and rumors of wars, not only political disruptions to markets and supplies of raw materials and so on, but not even natural disasters are going to happen anymore. And therefore, we can build all these things that are very, very tightly integrated, very tightly scheduled. And if anything goes even a little bit wrong, the whole thing screeches to a halt. Yeah, that sounds great. Likewise, I was in the library the other week. I think I've mentioned this. Reading Smithsonian Magazine, they had an editorial about how we ought to push everybody to electrify their homes for the sake of climate change and emissions reductions. And I'm thinking, where do they think the electricity is going to come from? Right? I actually posted a video the other day that my dad had made after an afternoon riding his electric bicycle around locally, talking about how boomers need batteries. You know, this whole business of electricity shortages has a lot of side effects. And so you can't really tell people to electrify their homes when there's power shortages. That doesn't make any sense. I will also mention, we're getting down towards the end here, but I've still got a little while. I'll also mention I've got two more videos, two more film transfers back, and they're up at tubenex.org now on the Man and Adam channel. One of them is an Italian language film produced in Germany. There are probably other language versions out there about the discovery of radioactivity with dramatizations of Röntgen's discovery of X-rays and Becquerel's experiments and the Curie's experiments. It's very cool. Very cool film. It is, however, in the Italian language, and they managed to totally mangle Ernest Rutherford's name. Ernest Rutherford. Anyway, the other one is a very mathematical treatment of alternating current generation and network synchronization in Russian. So if you don't speak Russian, it probably won't mean much to you. If you aren't really comfortable with vector diagrams, it probably won't be very good for you. But if you are comfortable with vector diagrams and you speak Russian, or even one of those two things, you might find it to be interesting. Let's see. Another thing I was reading at the library was Skeptical Inquirer magazine, which I would never subscribe to because it's editorial viewpoint is indistinguishable from that of the, you know, militant evangelical publications and things like that. I just don't like the style of the writing. But they did have a very interesting discussion. If people believe something is real in its consequences. That's why I'm always trying to, you know, fighting misinformation about nuclear power is not the whole story. In fact, it may not be very effective. But if people believe something is real in its consequences. So you have to fight that. Anyway, I look forward to your cards and letters. Send those to Post Office Box 1035, Fort Worth, Texas 76101, United States of America. You can send me money, paypal.me/PrometheusLives, for example. Support my Patreon campaign, patreon.com/Publius_Reads. Both of those, you know...